Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him and with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So far the reading of God's holy word. We will now read the form for the administration of a baptism, which can be found on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. When we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. And this also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized, as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, we will sing from Psalter number 48, stanzas 4, 7, and 8. For all the meek thou wilt provide, they shall be fed and satisfied. All they that seek the Lord shall live, and never-ending praises give, and never-ending praises give. 4, 7, and 8 of Psalter number 48. I now request the parents to arise and answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Ben Outshorn? Mr. and Mrs. Jan van Hugenbos. Dear parents, we have read together here in Acts 3, verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Thus, that was a seed of Abraham, children of Abraham, that would be a blessing, a great blessing, to all the nations of this world. And if we compare that to what we read written by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3, then he speaks about who that this seed is, because then he says that that he says not and to seeds, but as to many, but as to one, and to thy seed, he says, which is Christ. Therefore, it is ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord is pointing when he is speaking about the blessing that will be from his seed. And now we can read here that this blessing that is going to be upon all the kindreds of the earth. So the Lord says not only for that seed of Abraham, but it will be a blessing for the Gentiles also. And yet we read here of an order. That is, that Peter says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. So you are the children. Thus, when the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples, then he sent them first to the Jews, and afterwards they may go unto the Gentiles. Thus in order. And the children of Abraham, they were the first. That is a great privilege, that they may be the first ones. And then in verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. So the blessing of the Lord, first upon the children of the prophets, and then we read here also, ye are the children of the covenant. That is, that it is not only pertaining to Abraham and to his seed, but in that new dispensation, that it is the children of those of God's church, that is, those within that outward circle in the administration of that covenant of the Lord, thus a great privilege, that we may be with our children first. The church has a duty. And that duty is to go out also to all the nations and to do mission work. But there is in the first place a blessing for our own children, the Lord says. And now what is that blessing? In turning, he says, every one of you from his iniquities. That is a wonder that we read that. Because we read something else here in verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. And when that would be all that the Lord would say to us that are laying under the outward administration of that covenant, repent ye and be converted. That is the command. But when the Lord would finish it here, and then it would be for us and our children still impossible. But what does the Lord promise? He says, the blessing that is in turning away, not that you will turn away, not that this child will turn away. We read it together out of the form, and that this is a confession of the corruption that lays in us and in our children. But the blessing of the Lord, that is to turn us away. And now that blood, because when that water is placed on the head of your child, then it is a picture of blood that is for forgiveness. But when it really lays in our heart that we have a desire for us and our children, then we want not only to be forgiven, but then we want also to be turned. That we want to leave our wicked life, and we have a desire to live a holy life. And we hope that the Lord may give you the strength and the diligence and the faithfulness as parents, but as we have read in this form, that we may also be given to instruct our children in all our shortcomings of that covenant and that blessing which is laying in those who may truly be in Christ. Congregation, we ask you after the amen of baptism to arise and to sing standing Psalter 425, the fifth verse. Kenneth Sean, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jonas Rick, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee in that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, and that each and every one of us, being witnesses thereof, may also yearn and hunger for that blessing. For most of us, that it has also taken place in our youth, that mark, that sign, that seal, that has been placed upon our foreheads, and it is known to Thee, and it will be known also in that day that we appear before Thee in judgment. And Lord, it is a privilege that is not to be underestimated by us and our children. Oh, give that it may become for us that a pleading ground, that Thou may do for us and our children what we cannot do, and that Thou wilt fulfill in us that which Thou hast promised, that Thou would work in the generations of Thy people, and that Thou would look upon their children. Lord, they were our ancestors, and they were also within Thy church, and Thou didst give them that true saving faith. O Lord, Thou taughtest them to pray, and they have also laid us before Thee. Oh, we are their children. Lord, oh, may Thou also work in each and every one of us and our children, that in the continuing of the generations which Thou hast given, in the way of Thy goodness, mercy, providence, and long-suffering, may also be for an eternal blessing, and that Thy word may not return unto Thee void. Lord, go with us when we are yet unconverted, and when we have that sign upon our forehead, serious matter. Oh, instruct us and bind it upon our hearts. Oh, look upon Thy own children. Oh, that they may be given, even in these moments, to consider the power of that blood to wash away every sin and every transgression in thought, word, and deed, and that they may be given not to cleave to self-strength, but to give, but to look upon Thee. Oh, that Thou may open to them again. Oh, reveal to them for the first or by renewal that blessed, free, and sovereign grace which Thou dost give to those who are ungodly. Oh, that the chiefest of the publicans and the sinners may be given to rejoice in that sovereign work of Thee.
Remember us each and every one. Help us, Lord, when we are called to bring a little portion of thy word again in this afternoon hour. May thou be in our midst to give thy blessing upon word and sacrament. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 132, stanzas 1 through 5. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds in mercy fraught. We announce that the last collection today is for the school, Psalter 132, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon you can find in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Acts 3, and thereof the 17th verse. Acts 3, verse 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. So far, our text. Israel's sin of ignorance. First, what this sin was. Second, how that this sin was committed. And third, the consequences of the manner of this sin. Israel's sin of ignorance. First, what this sin was. Second, how this sin was committed. And third, the consequences of the manner of this sin. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Congregation, why is it that the Lord has done and that the Lord has also given unto his servants to do many miracles while they were here upon this earth? That was as helps. That was for their folly. That was for their ignorance. And that was for their weakness. That they may receive the doctrine of those who have brought this doctrine. And that they may see also the miracles. That they may have an impression. And that it is the Lord himself. That it is a divine work. And so helps, they were the gracious dealings of the Lord. That is even to man when man is in his fallen state, that he may establish the divine origin of his doctrines. And so that is also with baptism. Baptism with its outward signs and seals, then we know that is also given as helps to God's people, that is to aid in faith that is not strong but weak, that is to establish his truth, his doctrine within their hearts. They are the gracious dealings of the Lord, and especially in the time of the end, when the Lord knew that faith would decline, and that when he would appear again at the end of time, that it would be that he should hardly be able to find faith on the earth. The greater the sin that is experienced in the heart of God's children, the more difficult, the more impossible that it is for that people to believe. But Peter now rebukes the Jews. Why? Because the Jews here attribute the power of this miracle unto men. They attribute this to Peter and to John. And when Peter saw this, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" That was a great temptation for these apostles. A temptation. To do what? That is, to receive this honor. Say, boys and girls, they are men. They have the fear of God in their hearts. Yes, that is true. Do you know what they also have? They have also an old man. And that old man loves the honor and the praise of men. And it is a wonder that these servants are kept. And it is a wonder that every one of his servants are kept. And therefore pray for his servants and do not tempt his servants, lest the Lord take away the gifts that he gives them for the fulfillment of their offices. What a power that this lame man may here experience. And that power that is not only experienced by him, but that power that is shown even in the midst of all these people. They are in Jerusalem. Everyone can here see it, and they have known this man well, as that man was lame. And now such a power that to cure this man does not belong unto men. That is impossible for anyone to perform. That is why these men, when Peter and John, they have come to him, they have not asked these men if he has not asked if these men would cure him. No, he was not looking for this. This did not lie in the power of men. The Jews also knew this. And that is why these Jews, they are, as we read, so amazed. And they are calling everyone together to look at these two men, this Peter and John, who have done such a miracle, that they are looking at these men as some kinds of divine being, some kind of a god in their superstition. Oh, how difficult it is for the Lord to receive his honor. Because we are willing robbers of the honor of God. And the Lord has to do much work in order to receive the honor itself. And Peter corrects them. Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Thus Peter is bold, and Peter is telling the Jews of what their sin is. And then he is not just general, that they still have a question when he is finished, but he is very specific, as we need to be, that we are honest. And what was that sin? Then Peter says, you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You have rejected the Messiah. You have rejected the Holy One, he says, and the Just. And why? Why is it that they rejected him? Because this Messiah did not fulfill any need that they felt in their heart. And what was the need they felt in their heart? That was that they may be delivered from the Romans. That they may receive their freedom, a national freedom. Oh, when they would have taken him by force to make him a king. Then the Lord Jesus leaves and he goes by himself alone. And he refuses. That was such a great disappointment for these Jews. And therefore they have rejected him. And our congregation, how is that with us? Are we not now guilty of that same rejection? Let us ask in this afternoon. Does he fulfill any need that we have within our heart? Is there any form? Is there any comeliness in our heart that we may see in that mediator, in the Son of God? Or must we not all say of ourselves, no? And why not? Because what is our need? Our need is in the world. Our flesh is cleaving to this world. We love luxury. We love excess. We love all the things that we can enjoy here below. But now for the reprobate, for the whole world, all those things do not flow out of that mediator. They do not come from the office of him who came to reconcile his church unto himself. Where do they come from? Do you know that, boys and girls? The food, the drink, the clothing, all that we need in this life, where does it come from? It comes from the hand of our Creator. It comes from the hand of him who made us. He is not only our Creator, but he is also our Provider. And that is why we do not have any need for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we also reject him. That is why we can just as well leave him in his place. But we see in our second thought how this sin is committed. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. So what does Peter say? He says that these Jews, they did it in their ignorance. What is that ignorance? That is through lack of understanding. That is lack of knowledge, lack of education. They did not realize what they were doing. These Jews did not realize that this was the Messiah who was promised. They didn't realize that this was that Savior that they were looking for, that they were watching for. The religion of the Jews that had so far degenerated by the time that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, that there was no spiritual need. Was there not a remnant? Yes. Were there not those who feared the Lord? Yes. But now for that greatest part of the children of Abraham, the children of the promise, there was no spiritual need, only natural need. How many that came unto the Lord Jesus Christ, came unto him with a spiritual need? How many of them did not rather come to the Lord Jesus with their natural needs? How many of them were not satisfied to go away from the Lord Jesus when he had cured them within their bodies? There were just a few to whom we hear that the Lord Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And this was the reason that those Jews had no need of the Lord Jesus as a mediator, as a savior. Or if he would be their earthly king, he could feed them, could he not, boys and girls?
He can make of a few loaves and fishes many, many, and he can feed that great, great multitude of people. Imagine if he was the king. And the Lord Jesus has also performed many miracles when he were the king, and we have all those, well, there would be no sick anymore. And he could protect them from all of their enemies. Oh, then they would receive everything that was in their heart, that they may have such a blessed king. And they may then be such a blessed people. But if he refuses to be for them that earthly king, and that is what their heart desired, well, what beauty could they see in him that their heart would go out after him in longings, hungerings, and thirstings? Thus they rejected him. Therefore they said, crucify him. Therefore they nailed him to the cross. Therefore they mocked him. Oh, if only they realized what they were doing. But they did not. No, the Lord Jesus said when they nailed him to that cross, he says, they know not what they do. And our brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. And congregation, how is that now also with us? Because we said that we also are by nature rejecting this mediator. And how is that? Then we do it in the same way as those Jews. Then we do it in such ignorance. Solomon says that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. What is that? To know not anything, that is ignorance. And as that is in a natural way that the dead know nothing, so that is also in a spiritual way, that a spiritually dead man knows absolutely nothing which is spiritual. He has no life. He has no intellect. Therefore, he has no knowledge. He has no spiritual will. He has no new man. He has no new desire. What does that mean? That means that if that kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual kingdom, that it is impossible that we have one true desire after that king. There can be not one longing. There can be not one true sigh, not one true cry after that mediator. What does that mean? That means that we reject him utterly. It is impossible that it should be in any other way. Does that mean of necessity that man, such a man, a dead man spiritually, does that mean he is of necessity also rejecting God? And we speak not about Christ, but to reject God. No, that is not necessarily true. And why is that not true? Because there is part of that kingdom of God which is not just spiritual, but which is also natural. What is that part of that kingdom? That is the creation, that natural creation. That is, God is the creator of this world.
and the creator of you and me. And we have a natural life, even though we have by nature no spiritual life. And our fallen man, when he is deprived of that spiritual life, but when he still retains that natural life, then it is possible for such a man still to feel a need for God. Because it is his creator. And what is that need? That it is possible that the natural man still feels within him. That is the need for food, for drink, for clothing, for shelter. It is the need for protection. That is the need for everything that is natural, everything that is within this life. What does that also include? Our natural life. What does that also include? Love. Thus, the need for love, the need for affection, part of our natural life. The need even for possibly truth. But all natural. Thus, many people, they are feeling something of that need for God. But it is all for that which is natural. But what does the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Thus, that need for that mediator must needs be a spiritual need. And by nature, having no spiritual life, it is impossible but that we reject him. Then it is of necessity that the Lord Jesus is without form and without comeliness to you and me by nature. That is our deep fall. And if only, congregation, we realize what we were doing. But we do not. And we cannot. Why? Because we remain dead in trespasses and in sin. We do not see. We do not know. We are not affected by our broken relationship with God. We have no sorrow because of our sin. It is not lying as a burden in our heart and in our ignorance. Then we can leave that mediator well enough in his place. No need for him. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers. But now what is the consequence of sinning thus? Let us sing first. 415. Stanzas 3 and 4. Call to mind, O Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness, which has ever been of old. Sins of youth remember not, nor recall my hid transgression. For thy goodness' sake, O God, think of me in thy compassion. 3 and 4. Of Psalter 415. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Why, congregation, does Peter mention this? That they did it ignorantly. Does this then make any difference in their crime? Does their ignorance then absolve them of their guilt? Their ignorance does not absolve them of their guilt. It is not so in a natural court in the world in which we live. And why is it not? Because every one of us as a citizen has a duty. And that duty is that we would know the law. That we must educate ourselves. And therefore, the common saying that ignorance, that is no excuse. But it is not only before men, that is also before God. And why is our ignorance no excuse before God? Because, congregation, we have no business being ignorant. We were not ignorant when the Lord made us, but we were created by Him in His image, that is, in knowledge, righteousness, and in holiness. What does that make our ignorance? That makes our very ignorance itself our guilt. We can read about the prophets, how that they were set by the Lord. The Lord says that you shall be as watchmen on the walls of Zion. And what did the watchmen, boys and girls, have to do? The watchmen had to blow the trumpet if there was danger coming. And when now that watchman, when he would not blow that trumpet, then what would happen? Well, then the guilt that would lie on that watchman for the destruction of that people. That people remained ignorant when the watchman did not blow the trumpet. But consider now how it was for that people. And then the Lord says that people, they shall be taken by the enemy. Thus, the ignorance of those people did not in the end deliver them from the judgments of the Lord. Though they remained ignorant, though they were not warned, still they were taken into captivity. The Lord Jesus prayed for that Jewish nation. What did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thus they are ignorant. Why then did He need to pray, forgive them? Because though they were ignorant, they remained guilty. Thus, their ignorance does not take away their guilt. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. So why then does Peter say this? Because it is still not the same whether we sin ignorantly or whether we sin willfully. It is true that ignorance does not absolve us of our guilt. But it is also true that our knowledge increases our guilt. To sin knowingly is to sin willfully with our desire. In the Old Testament, then we read that there was for those who had sinned ignorantly, there was a place that when they had murdered a man, but it was not with their will, unintentional, then there was a place to which they could flee, but they had to stay there. Thus, there was a consequence. However, those who had sinned willfully, even when they had fled to that city of refuge, they still were judged and they were slain. Our ignorance does not absolve us of our guilt, but knowledge that is increasing our guilt. And the more that we know, the more guilt that is lying upon our heads. That man that has flown that airplane from Europe to this country, then it makes a big difference whether that man has done this in ignorance or with knowledge. Not a difference in the consequences of passing this disease to other people, but it makes a difference in the accountability of this man. His liability that is increasing according to the awareness of what he was doing. What do we read? Peter, he says, it had been better that they had not known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to depart from that holy commandment of the Lord. Oh, how many of God's people do not fear because they sin against better knowledge. And what is the ground of that fear? Well, that is, Paul writes in Hebrews, if we sin willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And Novatus has taught, based on that text, that after baptism, when a man would sin, that there was for him no more hope. That is not true. That is an error. Paul speaks there to the Hebrews about a special sin. What was that? That was not only a fall, but that was a complete falling away. That is, to know the truth, to have learned the truth, and to completely depart away from that truth. To say that it is not the truth, then you understand that outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is impossible that a man should be saved. But this is not true of all sins. Then there would be no hope anymore. Because what man does not sin after received grace? Nor would there be forgiveness. Congregation 70 times 7 times. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Was that true of all of the rulers? That all of the rulers did this in ignorance? No. There were some of these rulers that did not do this in ignorance, that they knew very well what they were doing. How do we know that? Because the Lord Jesus has accused them of the sin against the Holy Ghost when they attributed his work to Beelzebub, and therefore they have crucified him. These are not they for whom the Lord Jesus prayed, because he says, I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. The Lord Jesus has prayed for that poor multitude who has followed those Pharisees, those scribes, in their inconsiderate, ignorant zeal. They were people who did not know what they did. And that prayer of the Lord Jesus was heard. Just read about that day of Pentecost. Thus, Peter here, what will he do? He will not leave all these Jews when he is telling them what they did.
that awful sin, which was done willfully by some of their rulers, and for which they would not be forgiven. But Peter will not leave these Jews over to despair as if there was no hope. Because when they had done such a sin willfully, then there was no hope. But what does he say? He says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Congregation, the Lord in Deuteronomy 32, he says this, "For a fire is kindled in my anger, and it shall burn unto the lowest hell." The lowest hell. What does that mean? That means there are different degrees in hell. He speaks about the lowest hell. Deuteronomy 32. You may read it when you go home. The lowest hell. And for whom in that chapter do we read that that lowest hell is reserved? That is for Jeshurun. That is for Israel. Jeshurun, we read, who waxed fat and kicked. That was that circumcised people. Today we would say that baptized people. What does it mean, congregation, to be baptized and to be unconverted? Unconverted. What does that mean, to be unconverted? That means there is no spiritual life. That means that there is not a single desire, true spiritual desire in our heart. That means that there is a complete denial every day again, a crucifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we cannot have one desire after him. That is what it means to be unconverted. And now, at the same time, baptized. What does that mean? We heard it. Baptized. That means that they are brought under instruction. That means we are taught what that way is. Thus, what does that mean? We are increasing in knowledge. And when we increase in knowledge, we increase in what? We increase in accountability. Thus, under that instruction, every day, every week, increasing in knowledge and accountability, and remaining dead. Remaining without a single desire and a need for that mediator. Seeing no preciousness in him. Now we ask you, what greater plight can a man be in this world? To be baptized and to go lost. What did the Lord Jesus say? That servant who knew his Lord's will, that is the accountability, he knew it, was not ignorant. He knew his Lord's will. And he did not according to his will. He shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that did things worthy of stripes, and he knew not, shall still be beaten. That ignorance is no excuse, but it will be with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. Baptized. And how do we go over this world? With a baptized forehead. Maybe you say, young people, it would be better if I was not baptized. It would be better if I had... If I just leave, then I will not have the knowledge. And when I won't have the knowledge, then I will not be accountable for it. That is not true. Why not? You are here. And you know. And for every sermon that we are willfully absent from that house of the Lord, accountable for the knowledge that we could have received. We cannot change the providence of the Lord that we have been brought up under his truth. But congregation and young people, oh, may you not despise this, because that is a great privilege. And what is that great privilege? We have heard a little. Oh, what does the Lord promise? The Lord promised that he will convert everyone? No. That if you are baptized, then you shall receive a new heart? No. But the Lord says, this is the place I will work. He said, I will work among my own people. I will work from father to son. And I will have my people among your children. Thus, was that not a great blessing? To be a child of Abraham, child of him whom the Father condescended to, spoke to, covenanted with. That not a great blessing? That when the Lord said to Abraham, I will be the God of thy seed, I am going to work in and amongst your children. Oh, what had we rather say then? Lord, could it also be for me? Oh, that we would use with diligence those means of grace that the Lord has given to us. Oh, therefore, with that baptized forehead, that is no light matter. That is why, young people, we warn you. It is not the same when you sin and as your neighbor sins. That is not the same. They don't know. They sin ignorantly. You do it with knowledge. That is much different. The more that you know, the higher that your guilt is. Oh, don't do it. To go along with this world in all their fashions, in all their customs, in all their entertainments, in all their dress. No, don't do it. You know better. Oh, with our knowledge, with our being brought up under the truth, with our baptized forehead,
You know what we are doing? We are digging ourselves down to the lowest hell.
Therefore, congregation, fathers, mothers, there is nothing so urgent as that we with our children, even on account of our baptized forehead, nothing so urgent than that we are born again. Because if these privileges, if they are not a savor of life unto life for us, they are going to be a savor of death unto death. To be born again, to be converted. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and be converted. May that become your impossibility. To turn unto Him, that you may cry, Lord, turn me and I shall be turned. Save me and I shall be saved. Draw me, we will run after Thee. And at that blood, that there may come a place for that blood in our hearts, that it may become our one thing needful, to be washed and to be cleansed and to be reconciled, thereby unto our Maker, to all eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are guilty, guilty, guilty with our knowledge. Instruct us then. Give us life then also from the dead, that it may not be to our destruction that we receive all that knowledge. Look on us, Lord, in mercy. Keep us on every side. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. Draw our hearts to fear Thy name. And wilt Thou look on us in the remainder of this day and be with all those that must lead in services and those that are Thy servants sent to preach Thy word. And wilt Thou give us to keep Thy day holy, forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 428 stanzas 5, 6, and 10. Oh, teach me, Lord, the way that I should go. Then shall Thy servant walk therein forever. Give understanding all Thy paths to know. Then shall I keep Thy law with zealous fervor. Instruct me in Thy perfect will, and lo, I shall observe it with my whole endeavor. 5. 6 and 10 of Psalter 428.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.